GreatSuccess.com. Father, let everyone be blessed today. Visit everyone. Thank you for visiting us since we started this series. And I pray that you bless everyone. Pray that everyone will surely be blessed and not return back the same way. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic remains Overcoming the Enemies of Greatness, Part 3. Our scripture still remains Isaiah 54:2-3 that says, Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. And so on and so forth. So those are the scriptures we've been reading for quite a lot of weeks. And the focus has been greatness. God has designed us for greatness, to do great things and awesome things for His kingdom. And that is exactly what we are focusing on. How do I walk in greatness? How do I manifest my life in greatness without the hindrances that the enemy actually brings? The enemy doesn't want you to be great, because when you are great, then you're going to have influence. And when you have influence, you're going to push his own kingdom down, but you'll be able to push up the kingdom of God. Imagine if the richest person in the world were to be a child of God. He definitely has influence. He will preach the gospel with freedom, and there is nothing they can do about it. So that is the power of influence in the kingdom. Today, I'm just going to quickly do a recap of everything we've done in the past 3 weeks. And the first week, we were able to learn about what you actually see in the mirror. We saw the importance of being able to see rightly, because we are all going to become what we see. So the 10 spies saw themselves as grasshoppers, and then they died as grasshoppers, while God kept those who saw that they could conquer the land. And we have to also overcome the everyone is better than me syndrome, which is called the imposter syndrome. Then we must avoid pride, and it creeps in slowly and looks like claiming your rights in courts. And then we must avoid resentment and grudges. Remember, we dwelt on that so well, that one of the enemies of greatness is allowing resentment and grudges because of the trespasses of other people, of what people have done wrong. When we allow that to stay in our hearts, then we can be blocking our way to greatness, which we really want to avoid by all means. And then the second week, we were able to learn that we should not confuse humility with low self-esteem. True humility is obeying God at all times, which is exactly what we want to do every day of our lives. Then we need to avoid impatience. Impatience is willing to get what you are supposed to get tomorrow, right now. That is impatience. God has designed things for our lives, and we must make sure that we stay with the confines of those things. So as long as you are desiring and chasing after the things that God has designed, then you are still walking in line with His will. So we also learned that we need to avoid temptations, because the enemy is going to bring temptations our way. So we must avoid temptations at all costs, because temptations could cost us our place in destiny. And we can actually lose all, just like Esau, Saul, Cain, Samson. They all lost their place in destiny just because they yielded to temptations. And then finally, last week, we were able to learn that we should learn from our mistakes. We are all human, and we have not left this world, which means we are prone to mistakes. Sometimes we just want to do what is right, and then we end up doing what is wrong, maybe by mistake. However, we must learn from our mistakes. And then we read from that book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 7 that says that some people are ever learning but not coming to the knowledge of the truth. We must avoid that at all costs. Don't be people who learn but never practice what they are learning. That is where most Christians feel. They learn about righteousness, then they are not working in it. They learn about chastity and modesty, they are not working in it. They learn about things and then they are not doing it. Let's not be like that. And finally, today in this series, we will be learning 3 main things, majorly. And the first one is focus, focus, focus. One of the major enemies of greatness is distraction. When we are distracted from anything, we don't get that thing done. And anything that we do halfway is never done well, because you need to do it well. you even need to finish something before you can talk about whether it is good or not, whether it's done well. And then when you have done something, you now need to think about excellence. Have you excelled in what you have done? But imagine if you are distracted, you don't even have a chance of finishing. I've heard Mike Mundo say that the main reason why people fail is distraction, lack of focus. So we need to understand that this is a major thing affecting our generation. There is so much distraction here and there. Our phones are supposed to be assets to us, but you know, they end up being distractions in our world. We need to guard against that. Our laptops, our gadgets, AI, every technology out there that is supposed to work for our good, they end up becoming enemies of progress, bringing distractions our way. So we need to know exactly what distracts us and know how to overcome them. For example, I realized that when I want to plan, naturally it's easier for me to plan through technology because I can access whatever I plan here and there. But I noticed that every time I want to plan on my laptop or my phone, I eventually become distracted. Which means plan is to actually avoid distraction. But what I'm using to plan also now brings distraction. So I decided to start using pen and paper. When I'm writing on pen and paper, my distraction level is so low. So you need to know exactly what distracts you and avoid it at all cost. The Bible in Matthew 6:22 in New King James Version says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good," King James says, "if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light." Other version says, "if your eye is clear or healthy," it's almost like saying it's focused. If it's seeing the right thing and focused on one thing, then you have so much light in that one thing. Which means if my goal is to achieve something and I'm focused on that thing with all attention and I avoid all manner of distractions that come my way, then I can know different areas, different things, have deep knowledge in that thing. Do you know when you call somebody a professor or a doctor, somebody who has become a doctor in something, it means he has so much knowledge in something very little. That is what it means. It doesn't mean he knows too many things. No, he has so much knowledge, knows so much about one tiny little detail of something. That is what it's called. And then he becomes a professor and everybody respects him. So the same thing in our lives, if we want to get to the top of our destiny, of our discipline, of our business, of our career, then we need to be super focused, laser focused. When you talk about laser, it's talking about light that is so focused that it can cut through even metal. That is how the power of focus can work for us. And in Proverbs 4:25, it says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you." We should let our eyes look straight ahead with no distraction. The Bible talks about Jesus, that he set his face to go towards Jerusalem. Jesus came for one thing. They wanted to make him king. He said, "No, that is not why I came. I came because I need to save man." He could have become king. He could have become the ruler. He could have become the best ruler in the world, the most powerful ruler in the world. He said, "No, that is not why I came. I refuse to be distracted." So for you and I also, we need to avoid distraction. Things will come our way. If God has set you in the path of business, a lot of things will come. Failure will come. Different things will come. People will distract you. So many things will happen. However, you must look straight ahead. If you have been called to ministry, look straight ahead. If you have been called into a career, look straight ahead. If you have been called into politics, look straight ahead. Avoid distraction at all costs. Because the devil will definitely bring distraction. The devil knows the moment you become distracted, everything can change. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, what do you think led to their problem? Distraction. If they focused on what God asked them to do, they will probably not fall. But their eyes went to what God said they should not do. Distraction began to change their focus. They began to see something else that was not in the plan. And then everything just went haywire. Just because of that distraction. So we must avoid distraction. It is the major enemy of greatness. Somebody wants to become a singer, he wants to become a football player, he wants to become everything. At the end of the day, the person is going to become a jack of all trades, master of none. Because you have all the gifts in the world does not mean you're going to master everything. It doesn't mean you're going to focus on everything. They will be useful at one point or the other, but you must know exactly what you have been called to do, the assignment that God has given you and I. Then number two today, the first one is focus. Lack of focus is one of the major enemies of greatness. And then secondly, assumptions. Assumption, they say, is the mother of frustration. Most of us are guilty of this without even knowing it. Every time we start a task or a business or a career or something in our lives without questioning our assumptions, we may be walking towards failure. Not necessarily towards failure, we may be walking towards mediocrity, because mediocrity is the enemy of greatness. See, it is easy to recognize the difference between good and bad, but it may be difficult to recognize the difference between good and better, or better and best. God wants to take us to the best place, to the greatness in our destiny. However, mediocrity, which is just, it's not good, it's not bad, is always where most people stop. The father of Abraham, Terah, was going towards Canaan, and along the way he stopped. It was a good idea. Maybe God was just putting it in his heart. However, he stopped along the way, which is not what God wants for you and I. You must not stop along the way. What is that dream? What is that passion? What is that wonderful thing that God has planted in your heart? Most of us, these things were planted when we were very young. However, distractions, the thorns of life, the distractions of life just choke these things out of our lives. And we allow assumptions. Sometimes you start something, just assume you know it. So for example, I bought a camera recently and I just assumed I knew how to use it. And I started using it, which is how we use most things, right? However, I realized there were so many things I didn't know about this camera. It took me like a week for me to figure out something. However, if I sat down with the manual, I would have figured it out. So most of us start things in life with assumptions, thinking we just know when we don't know. Imagine if you could learn more about your business or your job. Do you know you immediately be at it almost 1% of that industry if we care to learn more than anyone else, which most people don't do. We just use what we call native intelligence, which is the intelligence that just comes naturally, which is common sense. Everybody has it. It is common, which means if I apply the common sense in any area of my life, it means I will only have common results, which everyone else can achieve. However, God wants us to go beyond that. In Proverbs 18:2, the Bible says, that's the New King James Version. It says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. He says, that's a fool. Which means every time I look at a task, a business, or my career, or anything I want to do, and I just begin to express my own heart, I may just be walking in foolishness. But it says, we must delight in understanding, which means we must learn more. We must find out something that is not naturally obvious. If gold is naturally obvious, it will not be gold. It will not be valuable. Sand is naturally obvious. Let's say gold is the one that is common on ground, and then sand is the one that is hidden. Trust me, sand will be probably more valuable than gold. But because gold is hidden, it needs to go through a lot of process to make it perfect. Then it becomes valuable. In Amplified Version, which is a very major one, it says, a closed-minded fool does not delight in understanding, which means we must not be closed-minded. We must not begin to think that what I think naturally is the right answer. No, it may not. It may just be more than that. It says, but only in revealing his personal opinions, unwittingly displaying his self-indulgence and his stupidity. May that not be you and I in Jesus' name. So we must be very careful that when we start something new, when we are in a particular path, we must begin to question assumptions, especially the assumptions of people who have gone ahead in that place, because they may just be wrong. Not necessarily wrong, they are just limited by the knowledge they have, which means if we follow them, we'll be super limited because we can't even have the amount of knowledge they have if they are the ones still talking to us. We must go extra mile. So, how many people have read about their businesses this week? If I should ask that question, for example, whatever business you are engaged in, whatever career you have you read something different about it this week? If I have not, I may just be working with common sense. Because, in fact, we are in the age of AI, artificial intelligence. Things are changing so rapidly. I remember, I think in 2022, when this became super popular, and I knew when it came up, between that time and now, I can't even mention how many apps, how many solutions have been developed through the same AI that was just launched in maybe 2020. AI has always been there. That's the truth. But I'm talking about the public version, the chat version. There are so many solutions that have been launched, super sophisticated solutions, just with AI. So, which means that if we think we have information overload before, it is just the beginning. Which means you and I must beef up our understanding about any field of life. Then, when you read or study, you suddenly become better than the rest. Most people don't read, I can guarantee that. In fact, if you should take a survey right now, a poll, and I say something like, how many of us have read something in our business this week? You see how many people that have not read. And it will be a shock. So imagine if you now stand out and begin to read better than the rest, study better than the rest. And it's so easy for us now. There are so many videos out there online, so many books, so many things that can help us. So you become better than the rest. And second part, you overcome the imposter syndrome, which is you thinking that everyone else is better than you at doing that thing. However, God has equipped you, God has given you gifts, God has given you an eye talent. But we begin to assume that others are better and think we can't do enough. I've seen people making a lot of money just by doing PowerPoint. Most of us here that I know right now here can do PowerPoint very well. Do you know some people make money just by doing only PowerPoint? And some people just only by Excel sheets, Microsoft Word. Even in 2024, that's what I'm talking about. In 2024, people are still doing presentations. It doesn't matter whatever app they use Canva, whatever. But it's easier to do than ever before. However, some people are still making more money from it right now, which means it's just for you and I to look inward and just study so that we gain more confidence to overcome what we call the imposter syndrome. And then number one that we took today is focus. Lack of focus is one of the enemies of greatness. Doing this, doing that, going this way, stopping along the way, going the other way. Then assumptions. Then lastly today, all talk, no work. All talk, no work. That is an enemy of greatness. Most people just talk and talk and talk. This is what I want to do. And then 3 years down the line, they are still talking. 4 years down the line, they are still talking. 20 years down the line, you'll be shocked at how many people that on their dying bed, they are still like, oh, how I wish I started that career. How I wish I did this. All talk, no work. In fact, most things that we want to achieve in life will require almost 90% work and maybe 10% or 5% of talking about it. If you do it so well, you will even be good at talking so well about it. So let's not start from talking, let's start from working, and then we can now begin to talk. Some people, they are so good at what they have done and accomplished in their lives. Like, they talk for 10 minutes, they will earn maybe like $1 million. If they talk for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, it will be at least $1 million because they have worked first. Remember Jesus. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. That's number one. The Bible says about Jesus, he said, let's talk about Jesus, about the things he began both to do and to preach. He began to do first before talking and talking. So imagine if Jesus, all he did when he came to the world is talking. I mean, who is going to believe in him? In fact, there were teachers before him, Pharisees, Sadducees. These people have in-depth knowledge of the Lord. They've been talking all their lives, but they didn't impact anyone's life. However, when Jesus came, he said, okay, you know what? This is what the kingdom of God is like. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He opened the blind eyes. He began to talk in wisdom, teaching people exactly what to do. And we are still learning that more than 2,000 years after. Which means, let's just focus on working. What do you want to accomplish in life? What do I want to accomplish in life? Let's begin to clean our table, clean our desk, and do more work than talking. And then we have more results than ever before. And of course, this is about Jesus helping us. This is about God helping us. Because we can plan to do things. The Bible says, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Many of us want to do things. You've been planning that for days, for weeks, for years, for decades probably. For maybe people who are super old. For decades you've been planning to do things. And then it's not done. Why? Probably because the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. There are many things that we want to do. We just say that every time we want to start it, it's not done. Every time you want to start, it's not done. It could be the power of the enemy just hindering those things. So this is where God also comes in. Whatever you want to accomplish, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So, which means that we should not just trust in our own heart. If you have tried it and it's failing, then we should say, okay, God, I want to rely on you. I want to trust you to help me. So let's look at this every time and say, okay, God, I want your help. I've been trying this on my own. It didn't work. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. NIV says that. In all your ways, trust him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways, trust him. So let's trust God. Let's trust him to help us. All these things we've been struggling with, God is there to help us. Jesus says something. He said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Which means, I may have been trying and working and struggling all these years. If I would just release myself to Jesus to help me, he will help me. If you have been trying a business over and over again and it's not working, why not just pause a while, pray, fast, and you see how God will help. If you have been working in a career for a long time and it's not working, why not just pause and wait on God and see him help you? The issue is this. When we cross to the side of God, we become the enemy of the enemy, which is the devil. The devil becomes our enemy and we become his enemy. That's why as a child of God, you can't just do things the way of the world. You must rely on God solely. Even as you do your own work, as you do everything that is required, hard work, smart work, everything together. In fact, you work hard at being smart. You know, they were talking to us about, oh, working smart. Now you use the computer and all that. Now you have to work hard at working smart because everybody is also working smart. So hard work still comes to pass again. But when you work with God, God makes all things work together for our good. God said he will make all things work together for our good. You are doing your work. God is making your work for your good. And I pray that as we all begin to rely on God, everything will work for our good in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So next week, I'm so happy to announce that next week we'll be having our special monthly Bible study. This is the first time we're going to have it. And I mean, I just want to say, this is going to be super, super special. It's not going to be like this, that I'm just talking and talking alone. This one, I want us all to read the Bible together, and everyone will contribute. Everyone will share what they learned. And just to give a context as to what is leading us to that, it's just going to be once a month, last Sunday of every month. So what is leading us to this is simple. Most people right now or nowadays have not been taught to study the Bible. We've been taught to hear the Bible in church. We have been taught to do what we call reactive Christianity or reactive study of the Bible, which means, oh, you are going through an issue, now go to the Bible to look for answers, which is super good. There are several ways of learning the Bible, and that is a major part of it. However, it is more than that. There are other ways, and I'm going to quickly share with us different ways by which we can study the Bible in the next 4 minutes that we have. We must understand that, number one, there's a literal meaning of studying the Bible, which is why so many people, that's what they know in the world, especially unbelievers. They can tell you everything in the Bible, but they don't know the spiritual understanding of that scripture. They can explain, you come to them, I've been going to church before you were born, and then they understand everything. And that's why some professors who don't even believe in God, they are still teaching the Bible. They are not born again, they don't have the Holy Spirit, but they are teaching. Why? They have the literal meaning. But it is very important that even as believers, we must have that literal meaning of the Bible. We must know those things. We must understand the literal meaning, exactly what it is, what it means normally in English, before we talk about spiritual meaning. Then the second way is historical study. You want to know the history behind the Bible. What happened before something happened? Before Jesus was born, what happened? Who is the father of Jesus? All those things, super important also. That is another way of studying the Bible. Then, the way that I think is very important is the Holy Spirit using the Bible to show you your future or to talk about the present to give you wisdom for the present or explain the past. Sometimes you just need the past as hindsight to have foresight for the future. That is another way which is super important. That is exactly what has helped most of us to understand how to actually take steps for time. But that is not the only way, which is where most people are stuck. They just think that's the only way. That's not the only way. I've talked about literal meaning, historical meaning, or study. Then the other one, which is super important, is you study the Bible, which corrects you, which instructs you in righteousness, which means when I read, when I study, it corrects me when I'm wrong. If I lied and I saw in the Bible that I should not lie, I'll be corrected, which is also missing in church today for most people. So that is another way for correction, instruction in righteousness, walking in wisdom and success. This only happens when we study the Bible as a proactive measure, not as reactive measure, which means I'm just studying it not because I need something, not because I want deliverance or I want success. I'm just studying because I need to study. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8 that this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. You must study day and night, which means minimum 2 times a day, day and night. So this is the one I'm talking about, and this is the one we want to engage in this time around. To just study the Bible, not because we have a predetermined idea of what we are looking for, no, but because we just want to know what the Bible said. So this one will be stored in us so that we can use it when we need it. So that is how, when we were growing up then, that's exactly how we were taught, which is super important. Every other way is important. Every other method is important. The Holy Spirit speaking through the Bible. But this one, we are just studying to know exactly what it says, to know the stories in the Old Testament, the stories in the New Testament. So that is exactly what we want to do. Every month, just study it, like take a book of the Bible, read full chapters. I think we'll be spending maybe about 45 minutes or 1 hour just for the in-depth study. That is it. So it's just different when we do it. I know many believers have not done it before. Trust me. I know many Christians have not really gone through that system of sitting down with other believers to actually share things. That's what was raining then. We sit down, we read the Bible. What did you learn? This person would say what he learned. The other person would say what they learned. So that's the idea in this. And this one, I believe I'll be doing this also through YouTube, streaming for the first time. I just hope they permit me to stream live. But even if I can't do it on YouTube, I will still be streaming live here. But I just want to be able to give this audio option for people who may care about their data, but people who don't care about their data can join live on YouTube. I will see if I have the permission to use the live streaming yet on YouTube. So that's what we are looking at. Then I need volunteers, people who will commit to reading, so that, you know, when I come, I won't be the only one who is talking. And then I'm excited to tell you we are going to start with the book of Nehemiah. I know many people have probably not read it before, but when you read it, it's a very interesting book. It's one of the books in the Old Testament that exemplifies the life of New Testament. And this guy was not a super spiritual guy, so to say. You didn't see anything about, oh, I heard God, or God said something. No, he just knew what was right, and he did it, which is not so common with people these days. People lie about everything. They do all manner of things. This guy just had a simple passion, followed it, passion from what is right. He knew what probably the Hebrew scripture said, and he just began to do things the right way, put things in order. He was both a politician and a civil servant, just more like somebody in a job. So that's where I want us to start with, which means before now and then, I encourage every one of us to read at least the first 3 chapters, to read the life of this guy, what he did, what makes him so special, and why we are reading. So I need volunteers, people who will say, okay, I'm going to read this, and then we come and share what they learned. Yes, we are going to read it all together in the meeting live. I'll be sharing my screen for us to read together. You know, when I take a verse, another person will read another verse. That's how we're going to do it. We are all going to participate. But I need some people who are going to volunteer that, okay, before this next week, I must read at least 1 to 3 chapters. So if you are someone like that, can you just put a 1 in the chat? So that means I will know that next week we are doing it together. I know you'll be here. Even if other people choose not to contribute, that you know that, okay, I will read three chapters. It's simple. It's a very sweet story. So I believe other people will join us also, as we expect them to respond. So we have three people, which is good, which means we are going to read the book of Nehemiah, three chapters, and then we will, that means we'll have more in-depth knowledge and share it. What God said, what you understand literally, what exactly is the moral lesson, so to say. And that's it. So that's the end of the podcast today. Let's thank God for sending us his word today. Let's just thank him. Father, we thank you for sending your word. Be exalted. We praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you because you have shown us the truth of your word, what could be hindering greatness. Blessed be your name, in Jesus' name. So let's pray one moment. The Father, everything that I've been taught today, that I've heard today, that is hindering greatness in my life, Father, I destroy them in the name of Jesus. Let's just pray one moment. Father, anything I've learned today that may be hindering greatness in my life, is it lack of focus? Is it assumptions? Is it talking and not working? Father, I rebuke those things and I receive empowerment to be able to do what is right. Father, my flesh is weak. I receive empowerment to not just be willing to do in the spirit, but to be able to do even in real life what is required of me, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. So we have come to the end of the episode today. I hope you have all been blessed. I'm going to drop the flyer for next week right now. So please and please and please, let's make this as open as possible. This is not just going to be me talking. It's going to be all of us. So please invite as many people as possible. Please, I'm begging, invite as many people as possible. And God reward you also, in Jesus' name. Amen. So see you all next week and stay ever blessed. The good success has come.